Are you tired of hiding your smile? Maybe it's time to get some help from G4 by Goldpaw. Their talented technicians specialize in creating brand new permanent teeth in just 24 hours. With as few as 4 titanium implants, you can enjoy a fully customized bridge for your upper and or lower set of teeth. You can have peace of mind knowing that the G4's experienced lab technicians have designed more than 15,000 new smiles. You can have a new smile that looks, feels, and functions just like natural teeth. Patients from all over the world travel to G4 to get their permanent smiles in just 24 hours and change their lives forever. Booking an appointment has never been easier. Simply visit yourteeth.com today and schedule your appointment with G4 by Goldpaw. Mention this podcast when you book to save $1,000. So what are you waiting for? Get ready to show off your new, confident smile with G4 by Goldpaw. Visit yourteeth.com today and start your journey to a new, permanent smile in just 24 hours. G4 by Goldpaw. Powered by technology. Inspired by patience.
Welcome to the Dr. Madeira Show, where he will discuss testosterone optimization and full body health for the high-performance modern man. Now, here's your host, Dr. Madeira.
Hello, everybody. It's Dr. Madeira back here on my show today, and we have special guest and friend and colleague, Dr. Carrie Jones. How's it going today?
It's pretty, so far so good, you know, hanging out in lockdown.
Yeah.
Just doing what I can.
We're at the over the month mark, so, you know, it's time for us to learn how to do all the things that we had other people doing for us, like cooking our meals and, you know, doing our, if you're a lady, getting your nails done or something.
Yep. Priorities.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's definitely been interesting times. This is end of April, 2020, COVID-19 pandemic. And, you know, we were just talking before about, you know, some of the more everyday stuff, like not the maybe the severe things, but learning how to cook your own meals, to getting a haircut, to maybe people having anxiety around the news or financial anxieties around how am I going to get my loan from the government or grant or whatever. What have you found that is being helpful for people or yourself or your friends, family, for dealing with the stress of all of this?
You know, it's so interesting because I feel like initially, and you probably felt this too, initially there was so much uncertainty because there's no hard stop, there's no deadline, there's no, you know, sort of dead end. It's not like we could nothing could be guaranteed. But now that we've been doing this, what, like 6 weeks at this point, people are starting to find their rhythm and find their normal, and it still goes up and down as far as sleep or anxiety or uncertainty. But what I find really encouraging is that a lot of people are you know, really finding what works for them. And so I am encouraging folks, like, really focus on you right now and get good sleep. You know, don't stay up binge watching Netflix until 2 a.m. and just be careful of how much caffeine you're drinking. If you didn't normally drink 4 cups, 5 cups of caffeine a day, and you can't figure out why you're jittery and can't sleep, that might contribute. And be mindful of how much alcohol you're drinking. Whether you drink or not, I don't care. That's totally up to you. But I have heard from lots of people now who are like, well, I'm home and I have nothing else to do. Like, right, but it's probably not helping your situation in the long run. Just be mindful of, you know, what you're drinking, what you're putting in your mouth, that blood sugar up and down, hyper and hypoglycemia, will often contribute to anxiety regardless of what's happening on the news. And so it's just sort of the basic stuff, which I know sounds stupid and easy. It's too easy. But, you know, when I remind people of these things, they're like, oh yeah, I am having 2 or 3 glasses of wine a night. Oh yeah, I've been baking like crazy because I have nothing else to do and my whole family's home. And that's what we're doing, is we're baking. So I'm eating all this sugar that I wouldn't normally eat. And my body is like, whoa, this is so much sugar. And as a result, it's triggering cortisol and norepinephrine and epinephrine, and it's affecting hormones and subsequently affecting mood, or it's affecting sleep, or it's affecting energy, or maybe it's affecting your skin or your hair. And so it's just going back to, like, if you didn't used to do it pre-pandemic, like, maybe just think about it now, maybe temper it now, as we start to come out of this, so you can find your way again.
Yeah, I like that. You know, basically, if you didn't do something that maybe was extreme before, it's probably not a good idea to, you know, say like, hey, like I have all this stuff, let's start baking cookies every day or day drinking, you know?
Right. And I'm not against the occasional day drinking, right? If that's what you need to do. But what I hear, you know, people are like, it's noon, I work from home, you know, I start my cocktail hour a little bit earlier now, but they didn't used to. And so now their liver and their brain and their immune system and everything, their hormones are like, oh my gosh, now I have to deal with all this alcohol or all these cookies or this banana bread over and over and over again. And I didn't used to have to deal with this. And it can be stressful on the body and really result in a lot of symptoms beyond just what's actually happening in the pandemic.
Yeah. And weight gain and, you know, what would be some other symptoms people might have if they're not yet gaining weight from eating a lot of pastries or day drinking?
Fatigue is a big one. Mood swings are a big one. Feeling unmotivated, you know, is a really big sort of feeling sluggish and like, I don't really want to do this. I don't really want to work out today. Sleep issues, a lot of insomnia, can't stay asleep, can't fall asleep. I'm hearing, you know, skin stuff. People are reporting their skin is dry, their skin's looking unhealthy, which could be definitely a combination of sugar and drinking and excessiveness, or it could just be also that, you know, we're not going outside like we used to. Like, we're not getting the fresh air. A lot of people, wherever they live, actually can't. They have to, they're in an apartment or a condo, and they don't actually have a lot of access to fresh air or a backyard or a patio or something. And that's really starting to affect them. You know, we have to watch, people aren't testing this, but when they come out, we have to watch blood sugar and we have to watch blood pressure. And, you know, we're going to have to start watching cholesterol levels and we're going to start watching hormones and watching for, you know, like how's your PMS and what are your cycles like and where your cycles are irregular and, how are you feeling with that? Same for men. Like, how are your erections? How is your weight gain or muscle gain going? How is your mood? It's, you know, hormones are not just around women. They're definitely around men. And then even it trickles down to kids. You know, we have to be really aware of our kids right now, and they're very impressionable. And, you know, it's going to affect the way that they choose to eat or choose to manage stress or, you know, choose to do things in the future. And so it's just being a little bit aware of what's going on right now so that in the next 2 months to 2 years, we don't have this big hormonal metabolic syndrome, you know, crazy adrenal type epidemic that's the fallout from everything that's happening right now.
Yeah, that's a good point. And I think a lot of people think that maybe they're trying to be optimistic because it gives them hope or something that, you know, this is going to go away in the summer and everything will go back to normal. And or they just say, I'm frustrated, I'm angry, mm-hmm. I just want everything to go back to the way it was before this. And then that manifests in different ways, whether it's craving sugar like you're talking about or alcohol or consuming those things and not doing the healthy things that maybe they were doing before or that they, you know, most people know, hey, I should probably wait until 5 o'clock to have a drink and I should eat my veggies and whatnot and take my supplements and get enough sleep. What do you think is the potential impact of this? I mean, you're alluding to it and we were talking about, you know, metabolic syndrome from COVID-19, you know, the pastry binging or the baked good binging at home, or fill in the blank. I mean, I have a bag of Bark Thins. It's the dark chocolate with the almonds.
Oh yeah.
And they taste amazing. It's like chocolate chips.
Crack.
Instead of potato chips. Yeah. It's amazing. And you eat about 5 of them and it's like, wow, that was a whole chocolate bar. So it's, you know, I got to check myself too. I'm not immune to this. And I realized kind of early on that I was starting to crave a lot more sugar than I usually do. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I'm like a recovering sugar addict. And as a kid, I would go to the grocery store with my friends and we would get our soda and our bag of chips and our sub sandwich. And then we would go play basketball and stuff like that. So I grew up eating a ton of sugar and, that's kind of like where I came from. And then later on found out that I was pretty sick and from a naturopathic doctor and did all this stuff. And then eventually became a naturopathic doctor, obviously. So I get it. I mean, you know, it's not easy. And for me, I was like, okay, I know what herb I need. I'm going to order that herb. I'm going to start taking it. And then when my energy crashes around 4 o'clock or 5 o'clock at the end of the workday or 6 o'clock, instead of eating my bag of bark thins for dinner or my appetizer, I would eat something, try to eat something else or just have a couple of bark thins and say like, okay, we're not even going to put this on the counter anymore so that I can't even see it, you know? Mm-hmm. And I was listening to somebody recently and they were saying, if that food is a problem for you, get it out of the house, you know, as much mm-hmm. as you can, just get it away from you. So I think sometimes it's just the I see it, I eat it diet, you know,
right.
whatever's within my view, I will consume. And, you know, I think in times like this, it's also important for us to be somewhat gentle with ourselves. If it's a matter of having like a blueberry muffin in the morning and then eating pretty healthy the rest of the day, it's like, give yourself a little bit of leeway, but
grace. Yeah,
a little bit of grace. You know, this is not, mm-hmm. obviously this is not a typical thing. And most people have never been through anything like this. And I don't think anybody's still alive from like the Spanish flu. I mean, I know my grandparents were born around that time and they're no longer living. So that's like probably the closest thing I can think of that is close to this. And obviously it was a lot more severe. But in 2009, we had H1N1, which was mm-hmm. the swine flu, and there was no lockdowns. People died, and it was not, you know, by any means, you know, something to sneeze about or just say whatever, you know. But
no pun intended.
But I think that, like you said, yeah, we got to give some grace. But as hormone experts, you know, I've talked to other practitioners and you, and it's kind of like, okay, is there going to be like a diabetes flare up in numbers and stats mm-hmm. from this pandemic? And also diabetes puts you in higher risk of getting COVID-19
right.
and
right.
the severity of it. And these insulin resistance, metabolic syndrome, chronic inflammatory diseases, low hormones, you know, andropause, early menopause kind of hormone disrupting dysregulations and with that HPA dysregulation. What are your thoughts on all of that and where are you with all of this?
Definitely, like if you just even looked at the HPA dysregulation. So let's say you're not doing anything excessive, like you haven't changed your diet, you're still eating your normal, whatever you eat, you haven't taken on more alcohol or more sugar, you're not baking banana bread every other day, but you have a lot of stress, right? You're stressed out. This is stressful. Maybe you're financially stressed. You're worried about your family. Maybe somebody in your family is sick or got sick, or God forbid died. You know, like there's the stress of what's going to happen with the economy, right? There's just a lot of unknown right now. And just that alone, our cortisol, our norepinephrine, and our epinephrine affects our blood sugar. It affects our blood pressure. You know, it affects the way that we do or don't produce hormones as men and women. So even the whole, there's, you know, the memes and jokes about gaining the COVID-19 and, you know, the sugar and the alcohol, even if none of that is an issue, you didn't gain a single pound, the stress alone we're seeing out of H1N1, we're seeing out of SARS, we're seeing out of the countries that went through Ebola, we're seeing the after effect of those smaller epidemics and the effect on long-term chronic health. And so I'm really mindful when I'm talking to people, talking to patients, talking to practitioners, you know, really that you try to get it under control now. The better you can get it under control, to the best that you can, will only help you in the long run. And I'm hearing it already from women. I on social media, I was explaining how cortisol and adrenaline will suppress the communication down to the ovaries. And so when you're in a really stressed out state, then the brain goes, whoops, we are so not getting pregnant right now because that's a stupid idea. And so it slows the pulses to the ovaries. And then as a result, we as women either get irregular cycles, we skip a cycle, we're late in ovulation, maybe we don't ovulate, maybe our periods are terrible, the PMS is really bad. And so as a result, I'm having all these women write me and they're like, I am so glad you said this because out of nowhere in April or March, I didn't ovulate. I was 2 weeks late. I was a week early. I bled 4 more days than I normally do. My PMS was a 10 out of 10, whatever it is. And so they're like, I'm really glad you're talking about this because I didn't know. I didn't know. And I'm under a lot of stress. I feel very stressed out. I feel very anxious. I feel very kind of angsty. And I'm like, yeah, even just to taking a small slice of the endocrine pie, just looking at stress and its effect on hormones, on blood sugar, on blood pressure, it's huge. And if that alone is going to be really interesting as we slowly, hopefully come out of this and the economy comes back, that's what the other part we're going to see. We're going to see these stress-induced chronic conditions, I think, or just hormone.
When you save on auto insurance for driving safe with USAA Safe Pilot, you'll feel like a big deal. Even in a traffic jam. Save up to 30% with USAA Safe Pilot. Restrictions apply. When you save on auto insurance for driving safe with USAA Safe Pilot, you'll feel like a big deal. Even in a traffic jam. Save up to 30% with USAA Safe Pilot. Restrictions apply.
Total dysregulation from the world. This is a global pandemic, not just the United States.
Right. You touched on a lot of things that I've been seeing with patients as well and having conversations with them, you know, women messaging me even in the last couple of weeks that are patients saying, I had an abnormal period. You know, they're trying to collect their hormone test. Mm-hmm. And you have to collect around day, 19 to 21, typically, and for these particular tests that they're doing for female hormones. And they can't find when that time is.
Yeah.
And they keep messaging me saying, I just had my period again. This doesn't make sense. Like, I had my period 3 times in the last month, or like you said, the PMS was really bad and there was nausea and it didn't make sense. And then I had my period and it's, 8 days, 7 days early. And then it's shorter or longer, like you're saying, the PMS is worse. All these abnormal symptoms for them. And they're messaging me and it's like, okay, I guess we'll wait again till find, this next month to see if we can get on to day 19 to 21 to collect. And but you mentioned something specific around what happens with the HPO axis and the HPA axis and that kind of joint axis dysregulation and fertility. And I know people that are trying to get pregnant right now. And I know that a lot of people have talked about that there's going to be in 9 months to a year a baby boom.
Yep, a COVID. Yep, we'll have generation COVID.
Yeah, generation COVID. And so how is that causing this HPA axis dysregulation causing infertility with the HPO axis?
Well, keep in mind that, obviously everyone's different. So just because women are messaging you and me saying I'm having a lot of dysfunction and dysregulation, for every woman that's messaging us, there's another woman who's like, not affecting me at all. Like, my cycles were spot on. I'm ovulating. This is not a problem. And so they're at home on their stay home orders. And 9 months later, they're going to have a baby, But with the infertility part, if it is affecting you, if your body is a little more sensitive and it is getting the effect of the stress, then in order to make a baby, you have to release an egg and to ovulate to release an egg. And what can happen is that cortisol and epinephrine, norepinephrine, so when you're fight or flight, the brain registers that as a lot of stress and it decreases the pulses known as GnRH, and that decreases your pulses known as LH and FSH. So these are signaling hormones, and they tell the ovary to go or not go. So LH in particular is the hormone that says, go ovulate, like do it now, make an egg. And then after the fact, LH tells the cells to make progesterone, which is what helps progestation, makes the uterus nice and fluffy so that you can have implantation, and then maintains the growth of the developing fetus until the placenta can take over in the first trimester. So it's really important to have these pulses. And then FSH is the pulse for estrogen. So we need that. That's really important in the first half of our cycle as women. And then it's a little more moderate in the second half. So if you're actively right now trying to make a baby and you're trying to figure out ovulation and you're like, this is weird, where did my ovulation go? It's entirely possible that the cortisol adrenaline signals said to the brain, this is too much, and the brain will take away the LH pulse, and it could even take away the FSH pulse, and therefore you don't ovulate. If you don't ovulate, you don't make an egg, and then the sperm can't meet the egg. So for women trying to get pregnant right now, you could go either way. You may be one of the group that are going to have the generation COVID in 9 months, or you may find that this is really affecting your cycle, and it's affecting your ovulation. It's affecting how your hormones are syncing and playing together. And as a result, it may be a struggle right now until things normalize a little bit.
Yeah. Thanks for that explanation. Cause that is what I'm seeing with certain people that I'm working with, where there's no ovulation and they're doing the temperature charting and doing all the other stuff, checking all the other things that people check around fertility, and they didn't ovulate in the last month. So that's good information for them to have. And it does make sense if you think about our primal blueprint of when there's a threat to the tribe or the family or the group, it's time to either fight or run away, and get somewhere safe. So when you're in a state of neuroendocrine disruption around a level of pure safety, it doesn't make sense for us to try to procreate for people that are more, as you say, like more sensitive or more tuned up to that sensitivity. So I think that's important for people to understand, and maybe also to understand that this is an acute situation versus like an actual, hey, you have clinical medical diagnostic infertility.
Right. Exactly. And it's just the brain trying to keep you safe right now. Like there's nothing wrong with you per se. It's just the brain like, ooh, this is a threat. This is not good. Maybe not this month. Maybe let's try again next month. Let's reevaluate next month. this is not a good month. Right. And so just like you, when women are upset or sad or nervous or concerned, I'm like, nope. And especially women who are like, I've always been like clockwork. What happened this month? I'm like, well, we had a pandemic.
Yeah.
So give it a month or four, and it will eventually, you'll most women will level back out again, and they'll sync back up again. I was talking to a practitioner yesterday about her own test results. And she said, I did this test on day 19 of my cycle. I am clockwork. I start every month on day 28. She goes, and I was 2 weeks late. I was like, yep. Your body said, not this month. And so as a result, we're going to try again in a couple, give it a couple months to balance back out. And then we'll retest her again, see what's going on.
Yeah, that makes sense. And then the kind of similar thing, I mean, it's definitely related, is another symptom around hormones is low libido. And that's what I've been hearing a lot from men and women who maybe they had low libido before, but now it's, if 10 is a very high libido, they had a 5 out of 10 or a 3 out of 10, and now it's a 0. It's
like
turned off. And I even talked to somebody recently, and their husband, who's not a patient, said, yeah, well, it's not an issue because they don't have a libido either. So we're both just very much focused on work and eating and going for walks and like getting outside and, staying away from the news. And and keeping that kind of like mental, emotional hygiene going strong. And so I think that's worth mentioning too, is in talking about the mechanism around that. If someone maybe had low libido before and they were looking at their testosterone as a male or a female or other hormones, is that a similar mechanism that the audience should know about?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, think about it. Just like you were saying, if there's a threat to the group, the family, the tribe, the person, then libido is generally not prioritized in the hierarchy of what's going to keep you safe. Like, having a high libido is probably not it. And so even people with really high libidos, I mean, I've definitely had people reach out to me and say, I used to be at a 10 out of 10. And since this has hit, and it's for a variety of reasons. They're like, I've lost my job, my partner has lost their job, or we've lost our insurance. We've, you know, lost a lot of money. We got sick. And as a result, their libido has gone down too. Cause it's libido is not a, you know, it's not a priority in keeping the body alive and functioning. And if it has to redirect resources, unfortunately for a lot of people, not all, it's going to redirect, you know, your feelings of desire away into more things like feelings of trying to be safe and trying to, you know, find food and trying to self-soothe is what it's going to go for. And if you think about libido, there's a really great book. It's called Come As You Are, and it's written by Sarah Nagoski. And she talks about how not only do we have the fight or flight, that fight, flight, freeze, and we have rest and digest for our overall stress health, but we have it for our libido as well. And so when we're talking about libido, it's finding things that take, release the brake and hit the gas pedal when it comes to libido. And so the same triggers for our everyday health can affect our libido as well. So if you've lost your job, if money is really tight, if somebody has gotten sick, if you are trapped in a very small condo and you can't get out and you're actually sick of your significant other at this point, and all you're homeschooling your kids and you know, it's entirely possible that your libido has a big fat break on it because, you know, the body doesn't want to. But I have definitely heard the opposite. I definitely have people that surely let me know that they're not having financial issues. There's nobody sick. And now that they're, you know, allowed to be at home on their own schedule and they're more introverts anyway, that they're having a grand old time. So good for them. Yeah. They have and their partner, their partners, they're having a blast. So
I mean, that's definitely not what I'm hearing, but I mean, people don't.
I don't hear that very often, but it is funny that it's that they're already safe. Their job is, you know, they can do it remotely. Nobody's lost anything. Nobody's sick, and they're already introverted, so they don't really go out anyway. And so they're like, "This is great. Now we're both stuck at home, and let the fun begin." I'm like, "Good on you." Good on you.
Yeah, maybe some time to connect at a deeper level. I mean, not just sexually, but in other ways.
They'll be the ones having the generation COVID in 9 months.
Right. Yeah. The baby boom. Mm-hmm. It's definitely, I mean, it's going to be interesting to see how this pans out and for people, for their health overall. And I have seen labs where even patients that were getting labs last year, now they have things like insulin resistance and low testosterone. And when they came to see me, it wasn't that bad. It wasn't, you know, it wasn't at a level where it was time to prescribe testosterone yet. And it was still, you know, lifestyle and herbal medicines and things. And so I think that, I mean, that is one of my biggest concerns, because I've witnessed when, before I became a doctor, I was an EMT, and I witnessed an above the knee amputation of the leg in a diabetic person in the OR. And I think oftentimes we forget, when we say diabetes, people are just like, oh yeah, 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 like just take the medicine, right?
Right.
Mm-hmm. And just try to avoid sugar and just eat like the non-fat foods that were right over your cardiologist or your MD tells you, or at the hospital or something. And even though all that nutrition stuff is wrong, but point being is that diabetes equals not just low hormones, but, you know, losing eyesight, a foundation for cancer and heart disease, a foundation for losing limbs and getting prosthetic limbs. and, you know, can't, and the way insurance is going is maybe insurance won't even cover that in the future. So, or now. So I think people, it's hard to connect the dots between I'm day drinking and eating a bag of cookies or my favorite chocolate or whatever your fill in the blank craving food is that you, your comfort, you can call it comfort food, like going back to that feeling of safety to, hey, this could really cause some serious problems for me in the future, especially if you have a family history. So I think hopefully for the people listening or listening to like, okay, like my body's telling me that I need to feel safe. What can I also do? And this is my question to you as well for our audience is what can people do with, you know, within their means, within arm's reach, instead of reaching for maybe that fifth beverage, alcoholic beverage or shot, or the 10th cookie or the pie or the pastries, what can they reach for in exchange to say, okay, well, I have sugar cravings or I need comfort food to give them that self of self-soothing that you were talking about?
So they can, I mean, besides reaching for other food choices, like maybe smarter, more fulfilling food choices instead of empty calories. Now, don't get me wrong. I am a dark chocolate lover, absolutely 100%. But I also know that I will crave dark chocolate less if I get a high amount of protein in my diet. I'm not keto, I'm not paleo. I mean, I do eat carbs. But if I know already that I've had good quality protein and I've had a lot of veggies and a lot of fiber in my diet already, that I will crave my dark chocolate less. But if somebody's like, I just need something kind of sweet, you know, it's, it can't, you can, you know, go for a little bit of dark chocolate. You can go for the organic berries that are available right now, or even frozen berries. Make a smoothie, put some greens, some frozen organic berries and, your protein powder. And now you, and maybe even, you know, organic almond butter or whatever. Like, so now you've got this nice blend. It feels like a milkshake kind of. And it gives you some of the, and it gives you something to eat that takes a while and will help curb some of the cravings. Plus, you get nutrients, vitamins, protein, fat, greens, antioxidants from the berries. You know, you get all the bonuses when you do that. But when it comes to non-food related stuff, it's maybe check in with yourself. Are you bored? Are you scared? You know, are you just feeling blah and unmotivated? So maybe you just need to switch tactics. You know, are you just thirsty? Do you just need water? Do you need tea? Do you need just some sort of sensation on your tongue? So you want, you should maybe switch to sparkling water. You know, or do you, should you read? Should you meditate? Should you journal? Should you, if you can go outside, should you just go outside really quick? Should you play with your dog? Should you call somebody on FaceTime, you know, and get that the need fulfilled for social interaction because we have such incredible social distancing. So checking in with yourself, I find is really, are you just in, find yourself in the kitchen because you have nothing else to do? Okay. Well, find something to do, not in the kitchen. Find a new, you know, find a hobby, finish the project you meant to finish, clean up your office, go through your closet, you know, clean out the garage, like whatever just you need to do in that moment to just, because you just need to break the habit. Cause every time you just find yourself back in the kitchen or back in the pantry or pouring that next glass of alcohol, just really check in with yourself and then try to meet the feeling in other, not so much, it doesn't have to be productive. I don't care if it's productive. I don't care if you're like, well, I just want to watch another, show on Netflix. If that's what makes you feel self-soothing and it keeps you away from, you know, your 19th cookie for the day, then probably better off for you in the long run. If you just want to watch that last episode of Tiger King, go for it. And then other people, you know, well, they'll work out or they'll clean out their closet or they'll be like, all right, I'm going to get that project done. I really need to work on that project. Or I'm going to go mow the lawn. I'm allowed in my yard. I'll go mow the lawn and that'll stop me. Or I'm going to switch. I'm going to drink sparkling water because the bubbles on my tongue will, you know, at least make it seem like I'm doing something fancy. And then I won't necessarily go for the comfort food. And so it does take practice and it does take checking in with yourself and it does take, you know, some real honesty. Like, hold on, this is my fourth time in the pantry. What do I really want? Like, am I really hungry? I don't think so. This is my fourth time in the pantry. Like, I need to figure out something else.
Yeah, that's really helpful. And I think for, you know, for me, one thing recently that's helped me is a healthy kind of distraction is just listening to like short comedy bits on YouTube. So, you know, some friends and colleagues have been sending me those, and, you know, it's 5 minutes. It's not an hour TV show on Netflix, which also is nice at the end of the day. But I like how you said, you know, find what fulfills you as an individual. So if you need to have like more social interaction, if you're that extroverted individual, you know, reach out for that, because you're not going to get it from another bottle of beer or your bag of chocolate bark thins or whatever. So
right.
Might feel good though. For
it sure tastes good. That's for sure.
Yeah, it does. I mean, chocolate dinners are that might be a new thing. It's an old new thing. So it might be a thing soon for people.
It's like cereal, right? Like everybody in the world has had cereal for dinner at some point, whether you do it anymore or not. I don't care whether, you know, somebody's, you know, like, well, I'm keto or I'm paleo, right? I don't do cereal anymore. I'm like, I bet you've done it before though. I bet you've done it at one point in your life. Like, everyone understands that kind of food is just that comfort food. Macaroni and cheese, you know, like that just comfort. Chocolate, just comfort, you know, that warm brownie, just comfort. And it just hits and supports the dopamine and serotonin receptors in our brain. But we can support them other ways, whether it's even supplementation or it's finding other ways to love and nourish and meet needs beyond just headed to the pantry because we're bored.
Yeah, that brings me to another question for you. What about oxytocin deficiency for people who maybe they don't have somebody at home, that a significant other that they can like cuddle up to on the couch and watch Netflix with, and maybe they're suffering from oxytocin deficiency from the lack of human touch, which we already were deficient in before the social distancing, for a lot of people anyway. What do you recommend around that? Or what do you have to say about potential oxytocin deficiencies?
Yeah. So oxytocin is our bonding hormone, right? It's our hormone of love. It's the hormone that like women, when they're breastfeeding, they put out when they're, you know, staring down at their baby. It's the feeling that I get when I look at my dog, who can do absolutely no wrong. You know, it's being with your significant other. It's hugging your kids when they genuinely are cute and want to hug you back, not when they're being a pain and like don't want to hug you. That's the hormone that comes out for us. And so I've actually had people write me and say, I live alone. I don't have any pets. This is a really big struggle for me. And I empathize with them 100% because it's hard, and you have to be conscientious about it. You have to plan. You have to plan like dates on FaceTime. You have to plan calls. You have to plan feel good stuff. And so just like you said, looking at 5 minute comedy videos, the meme game is strong with the world. I am so proud of the world for their meme game. That is the single thing keeping, I think, the world afloat right now, are all the hilarious memes. And so finding those little joys in the day to make you laugh, make you smile, make you feel connected. A girlfriend of mine, on Saturday, I think, there's an elementary school in my neighborhood, and the other day there were four minivans backed up to each other, and the trunks were open, and like women were in the back of them, you know, in their own car, and they all had coffee and blankets, and they were talking to each other in the back of their SUV, their minivans, 6 feet apart. And I know this is happening all over the world, but it happened right up the street at my elementary school. And I called my best friend, and I was like, we are having a trunk date. Like, I have to see you other than on FaceTime. And so just doing, if you're allowed, doing those things. My neighbors are hilarious. I have neighbors that will sit, like the people who live at the house will sit at their porch, and then the other neighbors will put lawn, like camp chairs in the yard, and they're, you know, they maintain their distance and their neighbors. So they just had to walk across the street or walk next door, and they just hang out, you know, 10, 15 feet apart. And I just love that. I mean, people are trying to find a way to connect. My husband said he went to get coffee at the drive-thru the other day, and these two older men had their cars parked, and they were sitting, you know, he said like 10 feet apart in camp chairs with their coffees. And he goes, it was clear these men probably met for coffee either every morning or once a week, and they couldn't do it. They're not allowed to go in coffee shops anymore. So they were camped out in an empty parking lot, just chatting to each other. And we just have to find creative ways, especially, and I live with my husband, and I have a dog, and I still, and I'm a very strong extrovert, I still need that as well. So if you are alone and you don't have, you know, animals, you will have to put a little bit of extra effort into it. And you may have to ask people for help, especially if you're an introvert. Like, I need you to check in on me. I need you to send me funny videos. I need you to send me memes. I need you to schedule FaceTime dates with me or Zoom dates with me, because I'm feeling really alone right now. And it's what we have to do.
Yeah, those are some excellent solutions for people out there. And I think, you know, like you mentioned at the end there, the first step is asking for help, asking for people to interact with you. And before this, it seemed like most of us were just so busy that our circle, even if it was very broad and we had a lot of different connections throughout our lives, that our circle was around work or specific things or some key family members. And now I think a potential silver lining anyway is that we may have more time to open that back up again using technology, like you said, Zoom or FaceTime, et cetera, to connect with people and even family members where it's like, hey, I haven't heard from that people or those people from that part of my life or college or high school or whatever. It's like, let's reach back out again and maybe remake those connections stronger again. And even, you know, I've been kind of joking because I have some family members that are introverts and they've been loving it, you know, like, they've been loving it. And a couple of days ago, I just remember thinking, I'm about to explode if I don't get outside in the woods and exercise and like get talking to some people on a regular basis. And I think that if people are extroverts, they understand that, you know, the need for interaction. And so I think it, as you're mentioning all these things, it's key for people to kind of understand like who you are, and, you know, you don't have to apologize for it, and just asking for what you need, and turning away from that, you know, closing the kitchen door, closing the refrigerator and the cabinets, and just saying, okay, like, I've had enough food today and drinks and stuff, and I'm going to go maybe call like a sibling, if you have a sibling, or call your friends that you haven't talked to for a while. Cause you know, we had the commute before. A lot of people did anyway, the commute to work back and forth. And what I've been hearing in the Seattle area is that people don't have the commute, so they're still working during that time that they were in the car before, the first hour or so in the morning and the evening, and they're not leaving their desk at home.
Right. Yeah, that's a really good point.
So maybe they worked 8 to 10 hours before, and now it's 12 to 13 hours. And as you were talking about, like, the HP axis dysregulation, and, you know, maybe they already have kids and their kids have kids, and it's not about libido or anything like that for them, but it's a matter of, did you get up besides eating lunch today and besides going to the bathroom to like touch your toes or stretch or, you know, make sure you're drinking enough water? And I think that this has given the people who are in tech companies or work for themselves, like me, sometimes you look up and it's like, wow, it's 8:30 at night. Like, I haven't had dinner yet, or it's 9:30 at night. I haven't had dinner yet. So, and it's getting, you know, in the latitudes where we're at, you know, Montana, Portland area, Seattle area, it's getting lighter later. So people maybe aren't adjusting to the fact that the sun's setting later, you know, there's 13 plus hours of daylight. So they think they can keep working that whole time. So all those things lining up to take breaks, you know, stop working, and give yourself permission to exercise, give yourself permission. And it's that extra level of discipline, right? Like, did I exercise 2-3 times a week, or did I go on a walk? You know, if you can, you know, don't get arrested. Yeah. Don't get arrested because of what, something I said on my podcast.
Right. Exactly.
I'm not responsible. But
yeah, my goal is to get 10,000 plus steps a day. I track it. And so on my ring, and I easily, and someday, yesterday it was that kind of day. I like started working and I worked all day. I hardly looked up. I had about a half an hour break in the day to eat lunch. That was it. And all of a sudden I came downstairs, and my husband owns his own company as well and working from home. And he was like, it's 5:10. And I was like, how did that happen? Like, I got up one time today, like, you know, significantly, I had this half an hour break to make lunch. And as a result, my steps were pretty pathetic. And I hate that. It makes me so mad when I know, because I just know that they say sitting is the new smoking. That if you don't get up, like, you touch your toes, stretch, move, go for a little walk, take 10, 15 minute breaks. And thankfully, the tracking ring I wear sends me text messages if I sit too long, and it will go, time to stretch your legs. I'm like, okay. And so then I definitely, you know, try to make a point to get up, walk my dog, or, you know, go outside. I mean, at least in mine, we're not allowed, where I live, we're allowed outside in our neighborhood. And so everyone's out biking with their kids or walking their dog. I mean, everyone keeps a lot of distance and often wears masks, but still, like, every little bit counts, and you got to get that blood flow moving. Cause you're right. People will just they'll be at their desk, cause they're so used to being a clear cut. I drive to work and start, I leave work and finish. And if everything's bleeding over, then you're going to find you're going to work in the morning, all through the night, on the weekends. You're just going to check. I'm just going to check real quick. And then, it's not healthy. I'm fully guilty, clearly fully guilty, but I know it's not healthy.
Yeah. Same here. And what I noticed personally, and what I've noticed from close people in my life when we do that, the next day, it's a lot harder to push through that day, even 8 or 9 hours. And you're a lot more distracted. It's kind of like the difference between getting 8 hours of sleep a night and getting four to 6 hours, you know? Mm-hmm. And you're more like, oh, let's look at the phone more. And you're not as engaged with actually getting stuff done, and more distracted and feeling more kind of like, I don't want to work. Well, yeah, you worked like 13 hours the 3 days beforehand. So I think that if people are looking at work performance, that's one of the key things. One thing that I just started doing recently the last couple of days is just grabbing a jump rope, going outside or inside and jump roping for like a minute straight, and just starting out the day that way. Or like right before I get on a call with the patient. So, I mean, it doesn't have to be like, oh, you have to build your own home gym and like there's no gym equipment left and like you're screwed now. No, you just buy a jump rope.
Prepared.
Yeah.
I have a hula hoop. I have a weighted hula hoop. I've had a hula hoop for 10 plus years, I think. And I have it downstairs. This is my work office where I'm currently sitting, but I will actually often sit at the, I have an island in my kitchen, like a bar, you know, so I sit in the bar stools and put my feet up on the counter. And that's where I often sit because my husband's down there and my dog is down there, and it actually just feels better to be around everybody. But I will take breaks and I will go outside and I will hula hoop with my weighted hula hoop, or I will take my dog for a walk. And so it doesn't, you're right. It doesn't require super expensive equipment. I have bands that I got really cheap off Amazon, and people can do band work, and, you know, jump ropes are not expensive and they're still available. And it's great, moves the body and helps.
Maybe they'll be sold out after this podcast though.
They might. Yeah. They might. Yeah.
Yeah. So yeah, I like those simple things because I, you know, even going back to the parents who are home with their kids, you know, they're asking like, well, what can we do? And I think, you know, it's a time to get creative and engaging kids in things that can be all teaching moments for them. And, you know, I went through med school with my daughter being pretty young, and I remember thinking, well, I don't really have time to go to the gym. I'm in med school. I have a young daughter. Well, I'm going to do push-ups with her on my back. I'm going to do squats with her on my back. And it's like, you know, it was fun for her because it was playtime. So I think a lot of the times when I talk to patients, they see everything as very separate. Like, I'm at work, I'm in the gym, I'm on my road bike, and that's work, that's exercise, this is family time. And now this is an opportunity where, for better or for worse, we're all kind of literally everything is combined into your home.
Yeah, it's very blended.
So, you know, figuring out getting creative into that blended, everything's overlapping, and how can you work through that? And yeah, it's not easy, but being, you know, resourceful and maybe asking other people what they're doing and saying, mm-hmm. well, like, what's working for you? You know, my kids like this, but you know, we're kind of striking out this week. And then I think it goes back to what you were saying about the grace, around having grace to ourselves and to our kids and, you know, people in our circle, is when things don't go perfectly in this situation, having grace and a little bit of leeway of, okay, well, we're all in this situation yeah. under one roof, so let's do the best we can, you know?
And I find, you know, it may change day to day. You know, somebody might have had a rough day and then the next day's better and they're like, oh good, I, you know, that's over. And then, you know, the next week it's, you don't feel that great again. Like you've got more anxiety or you feel kind of blah. Like I'm a perfect example. I woke up this morning and I was like, all right, I'm going to get up, work out. You know, I'm usually a very morning based person. I usually jump out of bed and work out. And this morning I sure did not. I like eased my way out of bed and I made tea and I journaled. And then I was like, I think I'm going to have more tea. And then I thought, I don't want to work out. It just wasn't in me. And even my husband, he was like, are you okay? He's like, you're such a morning person. And are you feeling all right this morning? I was like, not sick. I'm not sick. I just feel very unmotivated and blah. And I'm just going to roll with it today. We're just going to roll with it today. And it's okay. It's going to be fine. And other days are great. Other days I'm super on it and I work out and I actually shower and wash my hair. Although I did that for you today. And so, you know, it's so, and then I'm the house is clean and the dishes are in the dishwasher and then, you know, yay. And other days, no.
Right. And it's all right. Yeah. Yeah. I had a similar experience earlier this week where it just felt like I could not get into that. High drive.
I could not, period.
Yeah, I could just not. I could not.
That's period.
Hard like, stop. I should go do something, you know. I did do things and get some things done, but around the, you know, working out and things like that and the physical activity, it was kind of like, okay, well, maybe I can go walk 1 to 2 miles, but that's it, if that. So I think that, yeah, most people today are waiting, you know, it's a time of a little bit more certainty, still uncertainty, waiting mm-hmm. for things to open back up again. And there's a little bit more hope with some states already being opened. And I think that's giving people, like, there's a light at the end of the tunnel potentially
right.
soon,
right.
On some level. What are some other things that you think people need to know to optimize hormones or, and within that as well, when would be a good time for them to say, okay, this isn't something that is normal for me. I'm not just going to wait another month or two. Now it's time to reach out with the practitioner and schedule a visit.
Yeah. I mean, that's a really good question, because I suppose if you've been having problems with your hormones and your cycles and or getting pregnant leading up to the pandemic, like regardless of the pandemic, it's, you know, like this has already been a problem and now it's just getting worse, then, you know, definitely reach out. Definitely talk to your practitioner. That's what they're there for. And pretty much everyone's doing telemedicine now, so it's not hard to get a hold of your practitioner, which is really, really wonderful. Now, if you'd had fairly what you would consider normal-ish hormones leading up to here, and now we're in the months of the pandemic, things are a little crazy, and you want to wait. You're like, you know, I'm going to wait until like July or August. You're just going to wait a couple months and just see what the economy does, see what the states do, see what my hormones do, my stress, my job, whatever. You know, I think that's pretty fair. But if you are having symptoms that are, I'm trying to think of like how to word this. If you're concerned at all, you know, if you're listening to this and you're concerned at all, just call your practitioner. Just call your practitioner, because they're going to know you best. They're going to know your history. They're going to know everything. And they'll be the one to guide you through to say, okay, this sounds like This is going to require some testing right now. Or they're going to say, you know what, given your history, this sounds like it's just maybe stress induced and, you know, you're out of your rhythm and everything's out of whack. Let's give it a couple months. Let's give it 3 months and then, you know, revisit it. But if it gets worse, call me. And so I don't ever want to discourage somebody. I don't want anyone to listen to this and think, oh, well, it'll probably turn around in a couple months. It probably will. But if you're concerned at all, just reach out to your practitioner. You know, it's fine. That's what they're there for. And, but also know you're not alone. If you are talking to your girlfriends or your siblings, your sisters, or, you know, what have you, and they're like, yep, my periods are messed up too. My cycles are messed up too. Or it's a struggle for me too. You'll find that's probably pretty common because we're hearing it all the time, especially now, even things like hair loss. I have women that write me, or comment, and they're like, I'm losing so much hair. I'm like, yeah, that your hair follicles are very, very, very impacted by cortisol, epinephrine, and norepinephrine. And we're 6 weeks into this. And so that's a lot of cortisol epinephrine effect on the hair follicle, which can encourage, unfortunately, hair loss or hair resting, the resting state. And so no hair growth or minimal hair growth. And so even though we joke as women and men that we're like due to go to get our hair cut and our hair colored, for those who do, you still may be finding your hair is coming out shedding faster than you were expected. And cortisol stress can be a big player in that as well. But if you're concerned, if you're losing, you know, if you're developing bald spots, if you're losing big chunks of hair, you know, call your practitioner because it could be other stuff, thyroid issues, iron issues, what have you. And so, right now is a tricky time just because everything's all over the board. Nothing's on the table. Everything's off the table because there's no normal. We've never done this. You know, everyone alive right now has never done this before. And so, we're all trying to navigate it together.
Yeah, that's very helpful. I'm glad you mentioned the hair loss, 'cause that was one thing that I wanted us to discuss today. And it is a big, concern for men and women. And, you know, there are some therapies that like PRP injections for hair loss that you can't do right now, but there are other things that you can do. So more mm-hmm. internal medicine or topical foams, et cetera. So, you know, usually in medicine, it's deal with it sooner than later, because once it becomes, you know, we're talking about diabetes, for example, if it does become something like that, or you do lose all of the hair follicles in one certain area, it's going to be a lot harder or potentially not possible to grow that hair back. So
get it back.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So it's, you know, act now, I think is the short answer. act now, don't wait. And telemedicine is awesome because, you know, we don't have to, you know, be in a clinic and we can be safe and be on a video, and it works. If you're not used to it, it's completely easy. You can do it on your phone, computer, and, you know, instead of using your computer for Netflix, you can use it for your health. So
your visit.
Yeah. So it's pretty awesome. Well, I wanted to thank you for your time. I know our time is up, and, you know, this was awesome. It's always awesome to talk to you, and I'm glad that all of our stuff works today with the technology and the interwebs.
Once my camera finally decided to turn on.
Yeah, it all worked out. So yes. I'm so grateful. And you're on Instagram.
dr.carriejones. Yep.
Awesome. Yep. So if you're not following Dr. Carrie Jones there, go follow her on Instagram. She has a ton of free information, videos, et cetera, archived videos. You can watch a lot of those and really understand what's going on with your hormone health at a new level. So I highly recommend following her there. And you just did a webinar through Dutch Test. Is that correct?
I did one on stress and resiliency and anxiety, and then I have one coming up on stress cases. So we'll go over cortisol stuff, patterns and pearls as it relates to cortisol, and so that's coming up here soon. And everything's, it'll be on the Dutch Test website, so and for free.
Awesome. So is that precisionanalyticallabs.com website? Is that right?
Yeah, well, it's DutchTest.com.
DutchTest.com. Yep, okay, thank you. Perfect.
Yep. Precision Analytical is kind of a mouthful. So it's DutchTest.com. Yeah.
Perfect. And is that open to practitioners only?
Yeah.
Okay.
And it, well, I mean, everything on the website is open to everybody. So all our webinars, all our podcasts, everything is up there for free viewing. If you are not a practitioner, you may find it a little over your head, but maybe not. Maybe that's exactly the information you're looking for.
Spectacular. Well, everybody go check out all those places and you can, you know, get your information and then understand your hormones and your health a lot more detailed in the future. So again, thank you so much for being on the show, everybody. This was Dr. Carrie Jones, the hormone queen expert. And until next time.
Thanks, Sam.
Thanks for being here. Take care, everybody. And please share the show with your friends and family. We're keeping the show advertisement free so that you can get all the information and not have to skip any sections. And we hope you give us a 5-star review if you're listening on any of the platforms. Thank you. Now, here's for my mandatory disclaimer. This is a medical information podcast and is only for general information purposes. It does not substitute or constitute the practice of medicine or any medical practices, including the giving of medical advice to any individual. And please observe that no doctor-patient relationship has been formed here. This medical podcast offers health, hormone, fitness, and nutrition information and is designed for educational purposes only. You should not rely on this information as a substitution for, nor does it replace professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. If you have any concerns or questions about your health, you should always consult with a physician or other healthcare professional. Do not disregard, avoid, or delay obtaining medical or health-related advice and appropriate treatment from your healthcare professional. Users should seek the care of their physician or healthcare professional for any such conditions. The use of any information provided on this podcast is solely at your own risk. The contents and topics of this podcast have not been evaluated by the FDA nor approved by any other government or official body. The topics and content covered is not intended to diagnose, cure, or prevent any disease or disorder of any kind. Developments in medical research may impact the health, fitness, and nutritional advice that appears here on the podcast in the future episodes. No assurance can be given that the advice contained in this podcast will always include the most recent findings or developments in medicine with respect to the particular material covered. If you are in the United States and think you are having a medical or health emergency, call your healthcare professional or 911 immediately. Thank you for listening, and we look forward to hearing your feedback and looking forward to have you on future podcasts. Thank you.